You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show.
Well, now that's not supposed to happen. Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call planet Earth, thanks for being here. And those of you who are joining us for the very first time, welcome. We're glad to have you, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a really, really good habit to get into. And I think once you're into the habit of being here at the Kevin Smith Show, you'll be like lots of folks that write to me and say they're addicted to it, and that's a good addiction to have. All right, one email I want to deal with just because it was a little comical, and it says, Kevin, why doesn't your studio look more like a radio station studio? Well... perhaps for the same reason that this show doesn't sound like all the crap and drivel you hear on a lot of the radio stations. It's set up to suit me. Radio stations usually have the mic on a boom and it comes in, you know, and it looks great. Well, it doesn't matter really what it looks like. It matters how it functions. I've got a bunch of instruments right here that I have to watch little blinking lights and control those instruments. And if I have a boom mic, it blocks my view of some of it. And so I use a desk mic. And another reason is we're not in a radio station. We're in my surroundings. All right, out of England, there is a report of another UFO incident, and this UFO incident involved it involved some wind turbines, and the deal is that there were lights in the sky at night, some strange lights in the sky in the area around the wind turbines, and then the next day, one of these wind turbines, as those of you who are watching us on our internet TV station can see, one of these wind turbines was damaged. One of the blades had come off of it, and another of the blades is severely dented and damaged. There's been a lot of speculation about, you know, what's the deal with that, what caused that. Insurance company said, well, you know, it's... It is unusual. However, this type of incident happens about 5 or 6 times a year. Well, that doesn't really tell us anything, does it? Does that mean 5 or 6 times a year a UFO runs into a wind turbine? It just really is not too informative. One of the district council members there, by the name of Robert Palmer, and this is in the East Lindsay District Council, told the local newspaper that there was definitely something there, talking about were there UFOs. He said there was definitely something there. The company that owns these wind turbines said that they've never seen anything like this before. The name of the company is Ecotricity, And a spokeswoman said, we're conducting a thorough investigation into what happened. This kind of thing has never happened to us before. Well, we're going to be talking tonight about some things happening in the universe that have never happened to us before, so far as we know. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the show. The topic of the show tonight, as announced on our website, is huge changes coming to our universe are roaring towards us. And I've got three absolutely massive stories in science news that has hit the science news within the past few hours. Past couple of days. This one is a couple of days old. I want to sort of set the stage this evening for what I'm going to be talking about by explaining that This is for people who are new to the show. When I do a show like this, I am not declaring that this or that or the other thing is fact. Other than I will factually report to you what is reported in science news. But when I say, could it be this, could it be that, let me tell you, what always happens, and I can't stop it, except, you know, I can just tell you, if you engage in this, you need some pills and therapy. What happens is people go out on the internet then, and they start saying, oh, that Kevin Smith guy said this, when in fact all I said was, could it be this? Could it be that? So, forewarned is forearmed. And, after tonight's show you start seeing that insanity out there on the internet, just understand that there are people that populate the internet that truly need pills. And it's not the majority, but they usually are the noisiest. Now, having said that, this is a statement that I will stand by. I've made this statement many, many times. This is one that you can quote me on. By establishment scientists, I'm talking about status quo scientists who defend the status quo come hell or high water, have been wrong almost 100% of the time. These are the people who brought to us that old theory of spontaneous generation. And people will laugh and say, well, that was before the scientific age. These are the same people that brought us the flat earth. These are the same people that criticized the nuns in a hospital for washing their hands after treating each patient. And the doctors didn't do that, and they were killing their patients by not washing their hands. These are the same people who said there were no other planets out there, and then Uranus was found, then, you know, Pluto was found. These are the guys that told us there are no planets outside the solar system. And now we know about over 300 of them. That's the group I'm referring to. And I refer to them also as pseudo-intellectual mudsuckers. Now, having said that, there are many, many great and wonderful scientists who really are trying to explore and push the boundaries beyond the status quo. And they have my applause, they have my support, and they should have your support. We've had a number of them on this show. One of the scientists that we have had on this show was Dr. Michio Kaku. Now, Dr. Michio Kaku is without question, without debate, one of the greatest minds living. Dr. Michio Kaku is one of the true geniuses, I would say, of all modern science since Isaac Newton. One of the really, really genuine geniuses. He's been here on this show, and I have to say it was a great privilege and a great pleasure to get to interview him about his book called The Physics of the Impossible. I went back today and listened to that interview and enjoyed it all over again and found that many of the things we talked about sort of were precursors to the stories we're going to talk about here tonight. On this show, we talk about, and I talk about, UFOs. We talk about extraterrestrials. And I don't talk about them as theory. I talk about them as pretty much established fact, because the preponderance of the evidence, the overwhelming preponderance of the evidence, says they are real and that they exist. People who will take the time to look at that evidence, and I'm talking about even documents from the CIA, from the FBI, from the Air Force, and so forth. You look at those and you will see enough in there to say that the preponderance of the evidence tilts that direction. Furthermore, Project Blue Book, people point to it and say, well, you see, they didn't find anything credible about this UFO stuff, and so they canceled Project Blue Book. On the contrary, Project Blue Book admits that there were some 700 cases that they could not explain, and these were the cases that had the best, most credible witnesses when it comes to things flying, and had the greatest detail, and therefore they could not explain them away. Now, if you think about what that says, Project Blue Book, in admitting that there are 700-some-odd cases that they simply could not explain, they are telling you in an official statement, the UFOs are real. We can't explain them. They are truly unidentified flying objects. We cannot explain them. Now, they didn't use that language, but in admitting that they could not explain them, and these were the best documented cases with the most evidence, they're admitting that they're real. One more point before we get into these stories. We talk about UFOs and we talk about extraterrestrials on this show, and there are people that just discount that entirely. And that's your choice. That's sort of like being an ostrich, and I don't know if you know this about an ostrich, but it's one of the stupidest creatures on the planet. If you go to an ostrich farm, the corrals that the ostriches are in, the corrals have no corners. They're rounded. Because if an ostrich walks up into a corner, he can't get out of it. He's confused. And he'll stand right there and starve to death. And so they're rounded. So, you know, if you want to be an ostrich, stick your head in the sand. You've chosen to be one of the stupidest creatures on the planet. Or at least you've chosen to be among them. Because you're not looking at the evidence. But that's okay. I mean, that's, you have freedom of thought and freedom of speech, and that's good. But understand that the status quo scientists are the ones who have been defending the status quo right up until there was no possibility of defending it any longer. I mean, they don't defend the idea that the earth is flat. Not now, but they did put people to death over it at one time. They don't defend the idea, and they don't put forth the idea that all the stars and the planets revolve around the earth. Because they can't. You see, the general knowledge of the public outran their ability to enforce that view. But they did put people to death over that view to try and enforce it. They can't say there are no extrasolar planets anymore because now the general knowledge of the public has outrun their ability to enforce that view. But in trying to keep that view together, here is what's sort of said behind it. Or it's not sort of said, it is said. What is said behind that and in support of that, back when they were saying there are no extrasolar planets, and they still use this for there are no extraterrestrials. They say we've got the most powerful telescopes ever. We've got the most sophisticated, powerful radio telescopes. We got satellites. We've got everything you can think of. We've scanned the heavens, and we haven't found any extraterrestrials. Well, first, that's not true. It simply isn't true. Secondly, let's say that they had found nothing that was unidentified. Let's say that was a fact. Just because you've never seen it before doesn't mean it doesn't exist. There was a time not too far in the past when Europeans laughed at the idea of what we today call the great apes, the gorillas. They laughed at it. They said it's just fiction, it's a myth, it's a figment of someone's imagination. Why? Because they had never seen it. Well, of course, today we know it's true. We know for sure that those creatures exist. Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Just because you haven't experienced it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. And so that argument that's given for, there's no speed faster than light, you can't go faster than light, you can't even go the speed of light, the argument is behind that. We've got the most sophisticated scientists and sophisticated instruments ever, and we haven't been able to. Oh, so? So what? How many years did you have lips before you kissed the opposite sex? Should we believe that because you had not kissed the opposite sex, you had no lips? Now let's get into the science. The Milky Way, we've had all these facts about the Milky Way. You laugh to keep from crying. You laugh to keep from crying. We've had all these facts about the Milky Way that the pseudo-intellectual subculture mudsuckers have defended for all this time. We know how big it is, and we know it's got a black hole in the center of it, and it's moving at about, something like 492,000 miles per hour it's spinning, and, we've got it. When Dr. Michio Kaku was on this show, some of you remember that I challenged the notion that there are laws of physics. Some of you wrote to me after that, and you talked to me and you said, you know what? I thought you had lost your mind when you started talking to Dr. Kaku about there are no laws of physics until he agreed with you. Now, here's what I said to him. I said, there was a time when Newton's laws of motion and movement were considered the laws. That was absolute. until this little guy named Albert Einstein came along. And when Albert Einstein came along, Albert Einstein proposed something called the general theory of relativity and the special theory of relativity. And according to those theories, Newton was wrong, dead wrong, and they laughed at him. There were speeches given, there were papers written where he was ridiculed. Who is this guy anyway, right? I mean, at that time, he was a nobody. So they thought. Further proving what I always say, people who think you don't matter, don't matter. And I said to Dr. Kaku, today Albert Einstein's theories are considered the laws. He said, that's right. I said, but Newton's theories were considered the laws until Einstein. I said, isn't it more correct to say that what we call laws of physics are really not laws at all, but they're just descriptions of our current understanding of how things work? And he said, absolutely. There are no laws of physics. There really aren't any laws of physics. There are descriptions of our understanding of how it works. And they're necessarily flawed, ladies and gentlemen. Our descriptions of what we call the laws of physics, those descriptions of how things work are necessarily flawed because, number one, it's dependent upon the observer, and observers are not perfect. And they observe something but may miss the most important thing because they think it's too little and insignificant, and that may be the key thing they should have noticed. Secondly, these descriptions, these formulas, these laws of physics are dependent upon the observer not only being perfect, but then upon that observer's skill in describing what he observed. And some of them are not so skilled in describing what they've observed. So they try to reduce it to mathematics. But you see, if when observing, they miss the one little insignificant thing over here that turns out to be really very significant, then all of their mathematical formula is in error. And it may work most of the time, but not all the time. And we're going to get into some of that tonight. Are you aware of the fact that as of January the 5th, it is now being reported that scientists have discovered the Milky Way is 15% larger than they thought it was, and it has 50% more mass. That means that the Milky Way is not the little sister of the Andromeda. The Andromeda system has always been thought of as big and massive, and you know, but now the Milky Way is about the same size, always has been, but the status quo scientists weren't looking anymore. They got to a point where they said, we know it all, and they stopped looking. The Milky Way is 15% bigger than they thought it was, and it's 50% denser. That means there's 50% more stars, asteroids, comets, planets, and space junk and dust than what they had thought it was. Now, do you realize that means that all the calculations about gravitational pull have been wrong? We'll be back right after this. We're back, and I'm going to continue dealing with the Milky Way for a moment. What they've just discovered is that not only is the Milky Way much larger than they had thought it was, the Milky Way is moving much faster than they thought it was. They thought that it was spinning around its center at 492,000 miles per hour. That has been the status quo answer. Well, they've now discovered it's moving at 568,000 miles per hour. The solar system, ours, our sun and all the planets, our solar system, is about 28,000 light years from the galaxy's center. It is moving at around 600,000 miles per hour. That's 100,000 miles per hour faster than they previously had been teaching and swearing that it was moving. Now, I applaud these scientists. I have no criticism at all for these scientists that came up with this. These findings were presented at the American Astronomical Society's convention in Long Beach. And I have no criticism. I applaud these scientists. But here is proof of what I tell you all the time, and that is when people say, well, you know, scientists say this and scientists say that, if you're talking about the status quo group, you can almost take it to the bank. They're wrong. Just a few minutes ago, I had separately two pictures up here. I had Albert Einstein, and let's get Mr. Einstein back up. And I also had Dr. Michio Kaku, and let's get both of these gentlemen back up. Because, you see, Albert Einstein didn't buy the theory that just because Newton said it, it has to be true. He observed things that didn't match what Mr. Newton had written. Now, you give Newton his due. I mean, in his time, he was way ahead of the pack. He was way ahead of everyone else, and really provided a tremendous service and represents a tremendous leap forward in science. But remember what I said? What we think are the laws of physics are flawed right off the bat because it depends upon the accuracy of the observer and then the abilities of that observer to describe what he's observed. And so Einstein took a look at Newton and he said, well, what I observe doesn't match what he said. And so he came up with the general theory of relativity and the special theory of relativity. Now, I've already mentioned when I had Dr. Kaku on the show, I said to him that I did not think that laws of physics exist and that my opinion is that what we call laws of physics are really just descriptions of our current understanding. And I said, some smart scientist is going to come along and see something different and step right over what we think are boundaries, what we think are the laws of physics. They'll step right over it. And then we'll have a whole new understanding, and we'll say, ah, now that's the law of that, that is laws of physics. And it isn't. It's just a new current understanding. Well, there are a couple of physicists who have apparently done that with Mr. Einstein's theories. You know, Einstein himself was not satisfied with those two theories, the general theory and the special theory of relativity. He spent the rest of his life trying to, he could see there was something that just didn't quite work, didn't quite fit, and he kept trying to fix that. Well, there are a couple of physicists who have stepped right over Einstein's boundaries. At the Indiana University, one is a professor by the name of Professor Alan Kostelesky. And then a graduate student by the name of Jay Tassin. And they took on the long-held notion of the exact symmetry promulgated in Einstein's theory. And they show in a paper that will be published January 9 in that issue of the January 9 issue of Physical Review Letters, they show that there may be unexpected violation of Lorentz invariance that can be detected in specialized experiments. Now, listen to this quote. This is from Professor Kostelesky, and he says, and I quote, "It is surprising and delightful that comparatively large relativity violations could still be awaiting discovery despite a century of precision testing," end quote. You see, here is a scientist upon whom apparently this discovery sort of just exploded in his face. I mean, it just surprised him. I think it's interesting. He says it's surprising and delightful. I'm not criticizing him. I applaud him. But I don't think it's surprising. I think all scientists ought to expect that there should be huge surprises out there. In the laws of physics, there should be huge surprises yet undiscovered in astronomy and in every other area of science. It's when they start feeling like we've reached the pinnacle that we stop progressing. Now, here these guys are, these two scientists at Indiana University. They are now in the same position that Einstein was in when he took on Newton, because they're taking on Einstein. And they say that, it says, if the findings help reveal the first evidence of Lorentz violations, it would prove relativity is not exact. Now, what this means is that you could have two things in the space-time continuum upon which both are having laws of physics act upon them, but not in the same way. In other words, the laws of physics for this one may not be the laws of physics for this one. Now, that just doesn't fit, does it? I mean, that just doesn't fit with everything we know about the laws of physics. Yeah, you're right, it doesn't. But it does, I think, serve to prove what I said. I think it serves to prove that there are no laws of physics. It serves to prove that there are, at least there are no laws of physics as we know, because all we have are just descriptions of our current understanding of the way the physical universe works. And those understandings are necessarily flawed right off the bat. And here we've got, in the first story, proof, absolute proof, that status quo scientists got it wrong again about the Milky Way and about our solar system. Here we have, in the second story, what I think is proof that there are no laws of physics. There are descriptions of our observations about how things work, but there are no actual laws of physics. That means there, when Dr. Michio Kaku talks about the physics of the impossible, he is describing for us, based, and his book does, and he said it on the show, based on our current understanding, here's what would have to happen in order for this Star Trek or Star Wars type situation to actually be possible. Well, based on our current understanding, yes. But you see, there are people like Professor Kostelesky and his student Jay Tassin, who don't mind exploring the possibility that those observations that we call laws of physics are possibly inadequate, that there are things going on that cannot be adequately described by those laws of physics. And so they look, they test, they experiment, they observe, they measure, and they discover, you know what? Those laws of physics, probably not laws, probably not laws at all. And what happens here is if this bears out, is that so-called laws of physics are really going to have to be rewritten. When I've had this conversation with physicists, and they say, well, you know, the speed of light is the fastest speed that we know of, and it's a constant. And I said it in the show with Dr. Kaku, it's not a constant. If it can be warped, if it can be slowed, then it can be sped up. And that's not a constant. And his explanation, and again, I'm not critical because I think Dr. Kaku explained it well. He said, well, what we're talking about when we say it's a constant is unhindered, unimpeded speed as it travels through space. Okay, I can buy that, but I don't think that that's a constant. I think there are speeds faster than the speed of light. That's the fastest thing we've observed yet. Remember the example I used? How many years did you have lips before you ever kissed a member of the opposite sex? Should we conclude that because you had never kissed a member of the opposite sex, that for all those years you didn't have lips? Sure, you had lips. Is there a speed faster than the speed of light? I personally am convinced that there is. I am convinced that is not an impossibility at all. Have we observed it? Not yet. The Milky Way has always been 15% larger than they were telling us. It didn't just suddenly balloon up. It's always had 50% more density than what they were telling us. They just didn't have it right yet and may not have it right now. It may be much larger. It may be 40% larger than what they had thought. Now, they've determined it's 15% larger. The point is, when they give us these facts, you have to understand they are stating our current understanding. That doesn't make it a law. We got some big stuff coming our way. And they don't know what it is, but we're going to talk about it when we come back after this break. We've got the most powerful radio telescopes ever in history, and we've searched the heavens with these, and we know what's out there. Well, one of the things those radio telescopes do, one of the things they've done, is they have shown us that radio signals are emitted by virtually everything in space. Every so-called heavenly body emits radio signals. Some types of heavenly bodies emit stronger radio signals than others, but virtually everything out there emits a signal. That's how a radio telescope works. Well, there is a team of scientists that decided to send a special piece of equipment up high in a balloon. It's called the Arcade, which stands for Absolute Radiometer, or Radiometer for Cosmology, Astrophysics, and Diffuse Emission. I'm impressed. It's called Arcade, and I actually am impressed, because what they wanted to do was they wanted to see if they could pick up signals from the most distant stars. In other words, they're trying to go farther back towards what they think is the Big Bang, and I think that's all wrong. I mentioned to Dr. Kaku that why I thought that was wrong, and the reason I think the Big Bang is wrong, I think it's a silly theory, is because it posits an explosion from nothing. The Big Bang theory, as it's normally taught in high school science, is that there was a time before there was anything, and then there was an explosion. Well, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. So says St. Billy Preston. And you can't have a nothing that explodes. There had to be a something. But their goal was to look as far back towards the Big Bang as they could. And they thought they would get very, very faint signals out there. Leftover signals from the earliest stars, now long gone. What they got was a tremendous roar coming from way out in space somewhere. They don't know from where. It is 6 times louder. Listen to this. If you take all the radio signals of all of the stars, the galaxies, the planets, everything that's putting off radio signals, you take all of them, package them up in one package, this signal is 6 times louder than all of that. A gigantic roar, and they don't know what it is. According to Alan Kogut of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland, he said there is something new and interesting going on in the universe. Wow. Now, does that blow away the standard status quo? Everything has been going on like this for millions and billions of years, and it's just everything. Look, what we've talked about here tonight tells you that it's also true when I say Darwin's dead. Darwin's theory of evolution requires millions and millions and billions of years. And plus, there's a lot of other problems there, and this isn't a show about evolution. A lot of the problems are they haven't found any trans-species fossils. But, and this is important, this idea that things have gone on apace is called a closed box system. Things are not going on apace. Things are changing in our universe. Things are happening in our universe, big things, things that are surprising the guys that didn't believe it was possible. Big things are afoot in the universe. There is this roar out there in space. They've never detected it before, and now they're detecting it. And it isn't being detected with the biggest and best, well, it may be, I mean, but it was not discovered with the biggest and best radio telescopes that man has ever created. It was detected with something small enough to send aloft on a balloon. And it's so big, that it roars louder, six times louder, than the entire rest of the universe. What is it? Is it possible that, you know, as our sun moves around, you know, it moves around the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. It's in an orbit around the galaxy. As it moves, it doesn't just move, you know, in a straight line. It sort of bobs up and down. And every 26,000 years or so, it passes through the galactic medium. So it comes up through it, and then 26,000 years later, it goes back down through it. And 26,000 years later, it comes back up through it again. Is it possible that this roar has been out there all this time, but it's because we are getting very close? We will begin to pass through the galactic medium in 2012. Is it possible that because we're getting up close to it, we're able to hear something in there with this instrument that we had not heard before? Is that a possibility? Or, in fact, is this something that is new, that hasn't ever occurred before? Either way, what does that portend for us? Things do not give off radio signals for no reason at all. There are energies involved. There are dynamics involved with the heavenly body itself that are causing it to give off radio signals. And if you've got a radio signal that's six times stronger than all the rest of the known universe put together, that's serious. That is serious. And if that's something we're about to pass through, is it harmful to us? I don't know. Now, this is where I said at the beginning of the show, some are going to run off out on the internet and start spreading that I said that it's because we're passing through the galactic medium and it's harmful to us. And I didn't say that, and I want it on the record. I'm asking the question. Look, this story came out January the 7th. Six times more powerful, six times heavier, stronger, louder than all the rest of the known universe put together. Yeah, I would say that it's something new and interesting. It's new to us, but is it actually new? Detailed analysis of the signal ruled out primordial stars. That's not what it is. Or any known radio sources. They can't track it down. They don't know where it's coming from. So it's not any known radio sources, including gas in the outermost halo of our own galaxy. Don't know where it's coming from. Other radio galaxies can't account for the noise. There just aren't enough of them. According to Dale Fixon of the University of Maryland, in talking about all these other radio galaxies, he said you would have to pack them into the universe like sardines. There wouldn't be any space left between one galaxy and the next in order to get enough of them to equal that. So what is it? It's a mystery at this point. But whatever it is huge. It's powerful. Whatever it is coming from somewhere that cannot be identified as yet. Don't know where the source is. So if we don't know where the source is, we don't know what it is. I would surmise we don't know if it's dangerous to us. But what do you think? Now, we have to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to open the phone lines. What do you think? You think it's because we're moving toward that galactic medium that we're suddenly able to hear with these radio telescopes something that we have not heard before? Maybe it's there all the time, but we haven't ever detected it before. Or do you think it's something new? And if it is something new, what precisely do you think it could be? Could it be a radio signal being pulsed forward of an approaching Nibiru? I don't know. We'll be back, and I'll open the phone lines right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Our telephone line is open, and the telephone number is 1-800-605-4461. 1-800-605-4461. What do you think about all this? I mean, there are big, big things happening off-planet here. What do you think this portends, especially, I'm especially curious about this radio signal, six times more powerful than all radio signals in the entire universe. Now that is powerful, don't you think? That is awesome. Do you think that it is something to do with us moving towards the galactic medium? You know what the galactic medium is, right? I was looking for something round. I don't have it. But think of the galaxy as being sort of like a platter. In a way, it is. Okay? Think of it as being somewhat like a platter. And then around the edge of that platter, that's the galactic medium. So we rise above it and below it. We're approaching from beneath right now. We will pass through it in 2012. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. All right, let's try this one. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario. There's some pretty funky music in the background there.
When you were on hold, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's on your mind this evening, Kevin? What do you think about all this?
Well, there's more, obviously, gives more credence to the fact that there is extraterrestrial life out there. Of course, the people just do the math. It was already mathematically impossible that extraterrestrial life didn't exist. And I think this just this gives even more credence to the fact that it does exist.
Okay, how does it give more credence to that fact?
Well, you see, the mathematics states, the science states that there's no possible way that we are alone in this universe, at least even in this galaxy.
Yeah, the probability is that we are not alone.
Yep, well, it's 100% probability. Well, 99.999999999% that we're not alone.
Yeah.
So, and with the 200 billion extra stars in our galaxy, I think, you know, it just helps us. Although, I think, or at least I know that we have been visited already by these extraterrestrials. So, I think the guys at SETI better start looking at information instead of just trying to debunk it and try to focus on using radio waves to look for aliens.
All right, now, what about this radio wave? It's six times more powerful than all the rest of the universe. What do you think it is?
What do I think it is? Some people would say it's God, but then I might get the religious folks on my guess about that one. Quite honestly, I don't know. I can't even begin to speculate what it is.
It is mysterious, though, isn't it?
It sure is, and that's what these radio shows are about, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, thanks for the call.
All right, have a good night, man.
All right. Yeah, okay, well, Kevin in Canada, in Iroquois Falls says that to him, this sort of information sort of firms up the idea that there is extraterrestrial life out there. What do you think about it? All right. Now, the telephone is open, and the telephone number is 1-800-605-4461. If you call, those of you who are new don't know this, if you call, we're either going to bring you right up on the air, and you will hear me talking, or you will be transferred to hold, and you'll hear music in the background. If those are full, then it simply says that it's not a working number, or it's not working at this time or something like that. I have no control over that. That's the phone system. But it is working. So just keep hitting redial and you'll get through. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
How are we doing this evening?
Outstanding. Thanks for asking. What do you think about all this?
I'm amazed. I don't think the vastness and the odds of having life out there necessarily equates to having extra life out there.
Well, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. How many gamblers go to Las Vegas and... the odds are all in their favor. They've calculated this, they calculated that, the odds are in their favor, and they go broke. So just having the odds in your favor doesn't mean it will fall that way.
Yeah, exactly. What I find amazing is since we've had the Hubble telescope up there, and I know you mentioned that one day a guy asked you if you've seen that baby up there. And then also I've seen one with the, I mean, it's just a perfect resemblance of an eye.
Yeah, I've seen it too. They call it the eye of God.
Right, and also there's like one out there shaped like a heart.
Yeah.
I just, you know, that's too coincidental for me. The Bible says, you know, or God says that he's created everything for us. And they, I've read a lot of things claiming that. If everything, if the galaxy wasn't as big as it was, and everything isn't at where it's at, we could not survive here on the planet. It's that technical.
All right. So you don't buy that there are extraterrestrial intelligent beings out there.
Not as a race like us. Do I believe that we have flying saucers and there's other entities that are interfering with us, yes, but I don't think they came from 100 million or billion light years away. I don't think it's possible. I know you just said that you believe that you believe it's possible to go beyond light speed. I don't. Jumping out of this time frame.
Well, see, the thing is, there was a time when people believed that you should not put passenger cars on a steam locomotive train because any speed faster than 20 miles an hour would suck all the oxygen out of the car and everybody would die. There were newspaper stories about that. The fastest speed they knew of was about 45 miles an hour. That was the fastest speed they knew of. But if you had a car that could not go faster than 45 now, you'd get rid of it.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, every single barrier that we have thought really existed really didn't. And the fastest speed we know of right now is the speed of light. But that's just the fastest speed we know of. It's not, I am absolutely certain, it's not the fastest speed there is.
Oh, no. I believe that there's, in other dimensions and with different powers, you can jump in and out of our time frame, but it has nothing to do with speed, you know, light speed of any sort.
All right, Terry, thanks for the call, man.
Yep. Have a good evening, Kevin.
All right. All right. One of the things that is really cool about this show is it's about you, what you think, and your perspective on this stuff. I find this to be absolutely, positively mind-blowing stuff, that these new discoveries that we've talked about here tonight, this is just mind-blowing stuff. You have your take on it. You have your perspective on it. And it is absolutely as valid as mine. That's one good thing about opinions, isn't it? It's not just that everybody has one. It's that everybody's opinion is valid. How can an opinion be invalid? An opinion is an opinion. It's not a statement of fact. And if that's your opinion, then it's valid. So what do you think? This radio source out there, six times more powerful than all the rest of the radio sources, or would that be source I? All the rest of the radio sources in the universe packed together, and this thing is six times more powerful than that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Very interesting what you're bringing on tonight. I kind of disagree with Terry. In the statement that you made, you know, that 300 planets have been discovered. There are hundreds of millions out there that we don't even know about. And what I tend to think that noise is, that's just all of those other inhabited worlds that have sentient life talking.
So you think that it's the CB chatter between planets?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, it may sound impossible, but why not? I mean, we have a spoken language. You know, this could be language that, you know, we have no knowledge of, that we've never heard before. It may sound like chatter to us. It could sound like radio waves.
You know, they describe it as a roar. So it's just a big roar.
Like a roar of wind, or?
Well, they didn't say.
No.
The article just says it was a big roar, and that it was six times stronger, louder, than all the rest of the known radio waves in the entire universe.
That's interesting, but I still tend to go with, as you said, that CB chatter in between them. But I'm sure it's, you know, much more advanced than a CB, definitely, because that was back in the 80s. But
so you don't think it has anything to do with us approaching the galactic medium?
They possibly could, but I don't really look at it in that light. I tend to think that it's just the sound of the universe, of all the other planets that...
Why do you think they've never heard it before?
No. I'm sorry?
Why do you think they've never heard it before?
Because I think we may not have had the equipment at the time available to be able to pick up those type of frequencies. Now that we're getting a little farther advanced technologically, I think we have the ability to be able to do that. I just think earlier we didn't have that technology available to us.
Okay. Outstanding. Thanks for the call, and always appreciate your views.
Hey, not a problem, Kev. Have a good night.
All right, folks. So Debbie says that maybe this is communication between all the other intelligent beings out there. What do you think? I mean, six times louder. Imagine, if you will, our sun. Okay, and our sun is not very big. It's not a very big star. It's kind of a medium-sized star, so almost. And think of the roar of the noise that the radio signals must be making coming off of that sun. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Millie from L.A.
Hi, Millie.
Hi. About this, the roar that is on out there in the universe, I'm a firm believer on Planet X.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's approaching. And we only have 3 more years to 2012. And I think that it's getting close enough so we can start hearing the roar of that humongous planet and satellites. It's supposed to be about eight times the size of planet Earth. So that's humongous. I mean, that should carry a big roar.
Yeah.
And I think it's just about time that we start hearing that now. And that's why we're starting to pick it up.
So, as far as you're concerned, then, this would be evidence supporting the truth or veracity of Nibiru or Planet X.
Yes, I'm almost sure it is, because it's in that time frame, and it's so huge, you know, that we can't see it yet, but we can definitely feel or hear the roar of it. I think that's what it is.
Well, it could, yeah. And, you know, it may be what they've picked up is one of the Anunnaki teenagers playing his music too loud.
Could be.
Could be. Millie, thanks for the call.
You're very welcome.
All right. 1-800-605-4461. 1-800-605-4461. Whatever this thing is, whatever it is that's causing this, this roar, this radio transmission, if you will, or this radio wave, has got to be gigantic. You know, I was saying, if you just think about our sun, it's just kind of a almost medium-sized star. It has to be putting out a tremendous roar. Now, add that to everything else that's out there in the universe. Add that together, and this signal is actually 6 times stronger than that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Doug in Canada. How are you this evening?
Outstanding, Doug. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much. Kevin, is there a link in which our listeners could go to read up more on this radio signal that was sent?
Yeah, I'll tell you where I found it. Go to spacedaily.com. And it's all science news about space. You'll find it there.
Okay, great. And is that where you gather a lot of your information from?
That's one place. There's about 35 sites that I glean information from every day, and that is one of them.
Sure you couldn't squeeze in another one?
If they've got good stuff, I can, yeah.
That's great. Kevin, it's great. You're doing a great job here on the show tonight here. The radio signal that you're talking about here is quite interesting. We know that there are signals that are sent from exploding stars and pulsars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But they are nowhere near the strength in which is reported by you this evening at 6 times the regular strength. Now, that leads me to think that perhaps, yes, indeed, we have some sort of alien signal being broadcast throughout space, but we don't want to jump to that conclusion either without more facts. There could be a possibility of some major galactic event going on out there in space, and unfortunately we don't get that at the time it occurs, but we do happen to get the feedback after, you know, like the radiation kicks, you know, through space, and then we get that signal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, over the last few months, I've been noticing that there has been. As a matter of fact, you had mentioned something about the Milky Way and a certain particular area of that Milky Way that rotates backwards. And I believe that you actually know some friends from that area.
I know some folks that I'm absolutely convinced come from there.
But anyway, it could be possible that it is just another galactic event.
It could be.
It could be. It could be.
And that's why I'm saying, you know, I don't want people to go out there and say, oh, Smith said this. He said, you know, I'm asking questions. I don't know what it is. Hey, listen to this. Michael Seifert of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena says, we really don't know what it is. So we're not alone here. I mean, the guys that are, you know, the space scientists are baffled. They don't know what it is.
What is SETI saying?
Nothing yet.
Well, I guess they wouldn't either, because everything they say has to go through the Vatican, doesn't it?
I don't know. Is that true?
Well, I sort of thought that the Vatican has to approve any kind of discovery that they find. Isn't that somewhat true?
It's news to me. I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember seeing or reading something about that if there's any discoveries that are found in space, they have to go through the Vatican for approval before they can release it to the public. That shows you how much control they got over the population.
Yeah.
And unfortunately...
Here's the deal. Just like that flat Earth theory, and just like there are no other planets outside of our solar system, what happens is over time, the public gets too much information over a period of time for the cover story to work anymore.
Right.
And, you know, you reach a point of critical mass where the public goes, oh, come on, guys.
Well, I think that's probably what occurred a couple of months ago when the Vatican came out and said you can now believe in aliens.
Yeah. Could be.
It's coming to a head. We are going to find out the truth.
I think we're going to find it out sooner rather than later.
Well, I hope so. I've been waiting for a long time.
Yeah. Doug, thanks for the call, man.
Doing a great job. See ya.
All right. Telephone number is 1-800-605-4461. 1-800-605-4461. Yeah, you know, you've heard me say this many, many times. In the absence of evidence, all speculation is on the table. All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Houston.
Yes, you're live on the air. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Mary. I'm in Houston, Texas.
Yeah, Mary.
And I wanted to comment on the roar. I really think it was probably from the Big Bang, and it's just making its cycle around the universe back toward the Earth. But what I really wanted to comment on is about the 2012 events.
Uh-huh.
And every year we have the Perseid Leonid meteor showers.
Yeah.
And they're normally spectacular because I watch them every year. And say we're going through this cycle where we're going through this meteor belt. So I'm wondering how that is going to affect us. Will it bring more meteors down toward the Earth? Or are we going to be pelted
with
marbles than we normally are during the Perseid?
It may be. Mary, do you want to hold on through the break, or does that about do it for you?
I can hold on through the break.
All right. Hang in there. We'll be back to you in just a moment. We'll be back, folks, right after this. We are back. Mary from Houston, are you still with me?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. You want to continue? We kind of had to cut you short because of the break, and I apologize for that.
Yeah, I'm not going to keep this much longer, but I had become such a fan of the Perseid Leonid meteor shower over the years. I took time to go back and look at some of the records of how spectacular the meteor showers were. And if some of the listeners would go and look it up on the Internet and look at some of the accounts for the Perseid Leonid shower, because it comes around every year,
mm-hmm.
the fall. And some of the accounts of the meteor shower, you can see that the meteors were shooting from the sky like it was raining fire.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be having this spectacular event for 2012. And in some of those accounts, the meteor showers haven't been as spectacular. But if you go back and look at those drawings and see how some of the witnesses of the meteor shower over the years have portrayed them as fire falling from the sky.
Yeah.
That would be something just, you know, enough to shake up the planet. And
well, do you think that that's what's going to happen in 2012?
I think we're probably going to have a really wonderful, spectacular meteor shower in 2012. But at the same time, that's kind of frightening because they can't track all those meteors. So, you know, that which leaves us out in the open that something really big could hit us because they can't track them all.
That is true. Mary, is this the first time you've called the Kevin Smith Show?
Yes, it is.
Well, you know what happens. You got to get some applause for that. There you go. There's some applause for it. Oops. I tried to turn your speaker up so you could hear your applause, and I went too far with it and got some feedback.
Oh, I can hear it.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Okay, Kevin.
All right. All right. And how about you? The telephone number is 1-800-605-4461. 1-800-605-4461. And we would love to hear from you what you think is up with this, I would say, gigantic new discovery. See, there's a possibility that this is not new. I mean, you understand that, right? There is the possibility that this roar has been going on forever. There's the possibility that we are only just now discovering it. But it's been out there forever. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, interesting stuff about the background radiation frequency stuff.
Mm-hmm. What do you think it is?
I was trying to figure out what it was, but it seemed like it was so open, like it's so new that nobody really has much corroborating any kind of evidence for anything, really.
Yeah. This Alan Kogut from NASA said the universe really threw us a curve. Instead of the faint signal we hoped to find, here was this booming noise 6 times louder than anyone predicted. And they've ruled out any of the primordial stars that they were actually trying to detect. They've ruled out any known radio source in the universe. They have absolutely no idea what this is.
I made a little list of all possibilities that I thought it could be without viewing too much besides the significant facts.
Okay.
Number one, which would be fun, supernova, like we're just passing around, and a supernova is just hitting us from something that explodes, which is alien-based. The second one was a nuclear explosion or some type of explosion, intelligence or man-made, not man-made, but intelligence-made, like some kind of ship or something, probably not that. Another one could have been a possible message or call that we've just linked up with, or they just time to get here. There was another one. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, some kind of a unit giving off noise. Like a planet or something we're coming in contact with.
Well, they've ruled all of that out. They haven't ruled out everything you've mentioned. They ruled out that it's coming from a planet or a star. They don't know what it's coming from.
Well, for all we know at this point, it could be the beginning of some kind of a radio background jam frequency, because they're saying that you can't even see the heat from the stars about a light year away or so. But I'll leave you with that. Thanks, man.
All right, Bob. Thanks for the call. All right, folks. It is a mystery. As I said, in the absence of evidence, all speculation is on the table. And, we know we're speculating, okay? We know we're just sort of casting around in the dark right now, but so is NASA. So is JPL. They don't know what it is. They've ruled out, let me see, I'm looking through my stuff here and what I have marked in here, but I don't see now what I read to you a moment ago. But they've ruled out signals from primordial stars, and it says the radio waves come from far away, traveling at the speed of light. They therefore represent an earlier time in the universe. Okay. So, what is it? Now, if this represents an earlier time in the universe, could this be the residual noise coming from what some people have said existed, and that is a cosmic war? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Louie from Connecticut.
Hi, Louie.
I don't know what that is, but it may be a binary star. But if it is Nibiru, right, we're going to know before 2012, because if it's that large, whatever it is that large, you got to have a heck of a gravitational pull.
Well, yeah.
The first thing it's going to grab is the cable TV satellites. So if we start losing a bunch of cable TV channels in the future, I'm pretty sure that's going to be Nibiru.
Now, I got to ask you something, Louis.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember. You've told me before what your background is. Is your background in electronics?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think that is one reason, perhaps, for this forcing all of the radio, all of the TV stations to go digital?
It's a possibility, right? Because with digital, you can put more information in the slot. Okay, and for some reason, I don't know why they're hearing up this digital for next month. It's a big push on that.
Yeah,
I have no reason why they want to push it so fast. But anything with a gravitational pull like that, because your cable satellites is in synchronous orbit, and mm-hmm. first thing that's going to hit is going to hit those first. So if we start losing channels in the future, then we know it's got to be that planet. But I think it's a binary star. I think it's the second sun. That would pull out a noise.
Yeah, but why have they never discovered it before?
Like, well, we never seen it before. How will we know?
Yeah, but they would have heard it, wouldn't they?
No, not for that far out. Like you said, we're getting closer now, to it.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
But we never seen it before. We never, so now we're getting closer to that, okay? But I'm serious, that gravitational pull is going to affect a lot of things. I think that's going to do more, that gravitational pull, before 2012.
So when do you think it will hit us? The gravitational pull. When do you think that's going to...
Right, that's going to do more damage before 2012.
Yeah, when?
That's my opinion.
Yeah, but when?
Probably 2010, around that time. Between now and 2010, I think we're going to have a lot of problem with the weather and everything. 2010, I think.
Okay.
My opinion. Okay.
Well, thanks for your opinion. I appreciate it. Okay. Thanks for the call. All right, folks. Louis says that it might be Nibiru. or Planet X. And he says that we should start knowing for sure if that's what it is pretty soon. And I would assume that is the case. If it is, you know, a lot of people have said this is all supposed to happen in 2012, and they may be right. If it is, then yes, it's all going to start happening pretty soon. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Mike, calling from Friendswood, Texas.
Hi, Mike.
How are you doing?
Doing great, sir.
I was listening to your show right here on the internet, me and my wife, where we're intrigued about some of the stuff they're replying to about the noise. In space. We strongly believe that this was predicted many, many years ago in the time of the Mayans about the 2012 stars lined up in a fallen star supposed to hit the Earth and totally annihilate it.
So what do you think this noise would be?
I think it's something coming from out of, I think something's getting a little closer than we expect. And I also think that the they're just trying to keep it quiet so people won't panic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they just all out say that, you know, there's something going to come and hit us, the you know, everybody's going to go into panic mode and just be crazy.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. And but I wonder about us. I wonder why would we panic if there's absolutely nothing you can do about something? Then what is?
I mean, if you think about it, this is something the Mayans predicted many, many years ago, and they had it down there where you could actually see the pyramids from out of space. When you're into space, you can see the pyramids the way they line up. And this is something that they've predicted many, many years ago. That it is going to happen. They even picked it down to the date and the year.
And the time of the day.
Exactly, the year 2012, December 12th, 2012, that it's supposed to hit the Earth.
Yeah, it was December 21st.
December
21st, 2012, 10 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time, GMT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I strongly believe, I mean, if this is something that they knew, say, 600 years ago, and we're just catching on now, I mean, what makes us feel kind of stupid that we weren't even preparing ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
They're just, we just probably looked at them like crazy, and they're actually speaking the truth. Because now scientists are figuring out there is going to be a comet that hits the Earth on that same day.
Well, let me ask you a question now. Is this your first time to call the show?
It sure is.
Well, here's some applause for you, man. We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
All right. I appreciate the call. Keep things safe in Texas for us.
All right. Sure will.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. Well, okay. I think there are probably a whole lot of you in the audience who would think along those same lines. That this is the approaching 2012 calamity. Every time I talk about it, I always get a whole bunch of email from people. And it's fine. I'm not saying don't send it. Telling me how wrong I am. I don't think that there's going to be a great calamity in 2012. Not an earth buster. But I could be wrong about that. I don't think that is the case. But I might be wrong. I'll find out just at the same time the rest of you do. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. We are back, and we are on final approach. That means we only have a few minutes left, but we will continue to take calls. I know this is something that you're interested in, And as well you should be. Not in the sense that we should panic about anything, because, look, we didn't start the fire. It's been always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start this radio wave. Apparently it's been out there, but for some reason they've never picked it up before. And and that's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that all of the radio telescopes on the planet have not picked up this signal that is six times louder than all the rest of the radio signals in the universe put together. I mean, that's significant, folks. Think of the, I've said a couple of times, think of the noise, the radio signals coming off of our sun. And then there are literally trillions of those suns, and most of them much more massive than our sun. And you pack all those radio waves together in the whole universe, and this signal is six times louder. 1-800-605-4461 is the number to call. 1-800-605-4461. We've had a number of first-time callers here tonight. That is wonderful. I love it. And for those of you who are new to the show, you have to get used to the idea that we do still have freedom of speech here on this show. Your views are every bit as valid as mine or anyone else's. And, you know, we want to hear what you think. It adds to our ability to judge what we're thinking. And that's why we do this. I am a little bit irascible sometimes, and sometimes I've been accused of being arrogant, but I'm not arrogant. Trust me, I'm not arrogant. It just seems that way when you're right. I'll hear about that. But let's hear about the radio signal. What do you think? I mean, here we have, one of the amazing things about this is that you've got the guys, here is Alan Kogut of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center saying, boy, this threw us a curve. We don't know what this is. Here we have Michael Seifert of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California saying, we really don't know what it is. These guys are saying this is an unknown. We don't know what this is. It's a total surprise to them. Now, it's not anything to get panicky over, but I think we ought to think about it. I think we certainly ought to put some time and thought into trying to discern, you know, if this is something that is going to be dangerous to us, if it's like maybe we never detected it because it wasn't close enough, but now it's getting close enough to detect and it's going to get closer, it's going to pass over us. If that's the case, and if that's going to be dangerous, we need to be told that so we can start making preparations for getting underground or taking cover somewhere in some way. Maybe that will work and maybe it won't. But we need to be told. And I don't think, honestly, I don't think it's going to be dangerous. I think that what I said when we came out of the break applies here. And that is, we didn't start the fire. It's been always burning since the world's been turning. I think that signal has always been there, and they just never discovered it before. But if it's not that way, if it is something incoming, we need to be told. I would, if I had money to bet, and if I was a betting man, I would bet that it's been there forever, and they're just now discovering it. But this does point out, doesn't it, what I said at the beginning of the show. There are no laws of physics. There are descriptions of our current understanding of the way things work. That's all. We, sort of in our smugness, call those laws of physics. Einstein proved that what people thought were laws weren't. And now we've got a couple of physicists from Indiana University proving that what other people said about Einstein's theory, that those are laws. Maybe not. Probably not. There are no laws of physics. It's just a description of the limits of our current understanding of how things work. As our space exploration has gotten better through the Hubble Space Telescope and other types of instruments that are so sophisticated, as our discoveries have piled higher and higher, we have seen story after story after story where the astronomers have said, well, that doesn't match our theory of how stars are formed, or that doesn't match our theory of how planets are formed. We're going to have to come up with a new theory. So we're seeing these boundaries broken all the time, and my absolute admiration to those who are discovering beyond the boundaries of the status quo. The men and women that serve in uniform certainly are heroes, but the men and women that serve in the lab smocks are heroes too, the ones who are out on the edge and who are stepping beyond the boundaries of what status quo academic science has said is the case. In many cases, those people have their careers ruined. The people that step beyond the boundaries, the people that say, you know what, Einstein missed it. Many cases, they get their careers ruined. But that doesn't make it less correct. Their information is not less correct because they are ridiculed. Their information is not less correct because academia doesn't want to accept it. When status quo science opposes something, you can almost bet that what they're opposing is correct. They have been so wrong so repeatedly for so long, I don't think they can get it right. But the renegades, maybe they don't consider themselves to be renegades. In a way, they are. The ones that step beyond the boundaries, the ones that say, this can't be so. And here's why it can't be so. If it can't be so, something else is so. Let's find it. Those people are heroes, because they are the ones that take us beyond our current status quo existence, and they pay a price for it in many cases. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
I'm from New Hampshire.
From New Hampshire. And your first name?
Jim.
Jim. All right, sir.
Yes.
What's on your mind?
What's on my mind is I love your conversation tonight, and you know, this is something I prognosticated in this whole time myself. But I do believe that once a month we get a gravitational pull of the moon on the Earth, and it kind of changes the frequency of things, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that once you get in the center of the galactic plane, or as we climb up on it, you'll get these large radio waves, as you do from hydrogen, which is the most ample physical matter in the known universe, other than the black matter. I do think that as we come upon this center of the galactic plane, we're going to increase in gravity, we're going to increase in frequency. I don't know what's going to happen, exactly what's going to happen, but I do believe that as we come into this cycle, as we do once a month with the moon, or 12 times a year with the months and seasons and with our solar system, once we come into that galactic plane, which people call it 2012, they can call it...
Jim, I hate to do it, bud, but the music is playing and the end of the show has come upon us. Man, are you a first-time caller?
I am, sir.
Okay, well, look, man, I hate to do it. We got to go because my mic is going dead and the phones will, too, here in just a minute.
All right.
Thank you for the call. All right, folks, it's been fun, hasn't it? Always something interesting, and that's what this is about. Thank you for participating and calling in. Tell you what, my friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.